Welcome to Manager Tools. When a direct says no repeatedly to feedback, part one. This cast answers these questions. Do directs have to accept feedback? What do I do if a direct says no to feedback? What if a direct says no to feedback repeatedly? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go.
In less than 60 days, we'll be in the new year. Do you have a plan for your managers or workers who need help working remotely? We've just launched our newest training for client organizations, the Effective Remote Manager. The session provides guidance for how to be as effective as possible in a remote environment. We focus on increased avenues for communication, keeping relationships intact, and product and work delivery. It's helpful if you have some familiarity with the Manager Tools Trinity as we address how to engage in one-on-ones, give feedback, delegate, and coach your directs, all while being remote. It's a 3-hour, one-event training. For $7,500, we'll work with up to 30 of your managers. For more details about scheduling, pricing, and protocols, contact Maggie at maggie@managertools.com or read the post on our website at managertools.com/organizations.
Okay, Mark, we've said before, it is perfectly okay when a manager asks their direct to give feedback, whether their direct will accept feedback, that the direct can say no, right? But clearly that can't go on forever, right? Then that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, there are principles at work. And actually what's happening is for a lot of people who push back saying, I can't use your model because they might say no.
Yeah. We've heard that a few million times, maybe.
It's a bit like looking at the hole in the barn door and saying, look, there's no barn door there. The chances that this actually happens are exceptionally rare. This is very much like systemic feedback, this discussion that we're going to have. But I get this question all the time. And it reminds me very much of systemic feedback, which we want everybody to have in their back pocket, but the chances that you're going to use it are slim to none. But it will steal you. It will make you much more comfortable about delivering day-to-day feedback, which is fairly humdrum and normal and reasonable, and it's part of the daily makeup of organizational, the rhythms of organizations.
Yeah, this is interesting. We're going to go over something that they'll probably never use, but the fear of this happening is what drives many managers in our experience not to use the feedback model. So you got to know it.
Yeah. We have enough data that we have defenses against even exceptionally poorly made objections to the model. Another example of some of our work that we have to defend, if you will, is the one about the non-communicative direct. You know, what do you do if you start doing one-on-ones and people, you know, one of your directs says, no, I'm not, you know, I don't have anything. I don't want to do it. I don't want to come, whatever. And what's funny about this is nobody who's done one-on-ones for any length of time, whether they learn them from us or somewhere else, ever has those concerns. The people that have the concerns are A, the people that have never done them. In other words, I have a concern. I've never done it. I have no experience. I have no data. I just have a concern. And secondly, in my experience, of those people who have never done it, the people who say, oh, well, what about this and what about this and what about this are the ones who don't want to do it. So my feeling about this podcast is the people who need it are the people who say, yeah, I don't like the feedback model. But what's interesting is the people who do like the feedback model will feel like this is one of those warm blanket podcasts. Like, hey, that's good. I know exactly what to do. I don't have to worry that I get some random person come into my team that acts like an idiot and, you know, and says, yeah, I don't, you can't give me feedback. It's like arguing against gravity. It just doesn't make sense. Yeah. And we're gonna make the case for gravity in this cast. And, you know, obviously the artifact that creates the need for this cast is the fact that we tell you to ask your direct, hey, can I give you some feedback? Because it's just as easy for people to say, I prefer to use my role power and just tell them. Yeah, well, we tested that and it doesn't work very well. But, you know, you go ahead if you want to. Hey, that path leads through the swamps, and the swamps have alligators and crocodiles together, by the way, and snakes, and poisonous snakes, and tar pits as well. But you go ahead, man. It's fine. You do what you want. We'll be over here on the straight and narrow path. that is well paved, by the way, by highly effective managers and executives. Now, I am going to do something a little different. This is a longer cast, and the first part of the cast, I'm going to talk about behaviors that managers need to engage in, but I suspect a great many managers who are listening, I have a picture of a few of them in my head right now, would really just love for me to say, Mark, get to the point where you tell me. I can figure out everything else, but please don't make me wait till the end of part two, because I, you know, for those of you who don't know, we print out our show notes in advance of the show, and I use a product called Byword, which Mike makes me use, by the way, although I like it quite a great deal. This is an 18-page cast, and a typical cast would be 9 or 10 or 11 pages. By the way, that's not 18 single-spaced Word document pages in 12-point type or 10-point type, because I'm old, and I have to have the type a little bigger so I can refer to it throughout the cast. So, Mike, I just thought I'd do this as a courtesy to the high Ds and to our longtime listeners who don't need us to make the case, which, by the way, we've made this case before in bits and pieces and dribs and drabs throughout the last 15 years, but now we're going to put it all together in one place and explain in part how organizations run and how organizations cease to run when people say, yeah, you can't talk to me about my performance.
Yeah, that's good. And folks, if you're not a licensee, don't have access to the show notes, have your pen and paper ready.
Yes.
Because this is quite a complete response
to
the problem.
So in the event that your direct doesn't come around and you followed all of our other guidance, here's the speech you might give. Now, folks, caution, don't give this speech after one instance of someone refusing. If that's what you're thinking you want out of this, that's dumb. And you should not do that, okay? So I give this to you so that you can know it, and we're going to do it again at the end of what I think is the second part of the end of the second cast, but you'll probably need to listen to the rest of it to get the true value out of this and to make you feel confident about what you're saying. But there are a healthy number of you and you high Ds who just think, well, I'll shoot from the hip.
Yeah, you could probably read a document that said how to perform heart surgery and
just go
do the steps.
It's no problem. I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night. Okay, so here's what we're going to recommend you say when you have a meeting with your direct who has repeatedly said no to feedback. Dude, I'm concerned about your response to my efforts to communicate with you about your performance recently. Over the past several weeks, I've asked you several times if you're open to communication about your performance, and you've refused. Here are the instances, and here's what I was going to say in all those instances, and then I would just list them. On this date, you did this, and I would have said this, and so on. Again, and I'm not asking, right? So I finish the list, and then I carry on. The fact that your obligation, and it is an obligation, to receive feedback hasn't been made clear to you before now, it surprises me. I thought someone would have told you, or that it would have been reasonable to infer that from your role and so on. But the fact that you know or don't know doesn't change either your or my responsibilities in this situation. Look, we're all obligated to seek effectiveness and efficiency in our roles in this organization. And to create trusting relationships with people around us. And when the situation changes, society changes, organization changes, profit changes, whatever, all of us here have to change what we do and how we do it to seek the new goals that the organization has said are necessary for us to continue to survive. And that includes you. Your obligation is like the rest of us. You have to be willing to change. You too have a responsibility to change with the environment. And the environment is me and the people around us and my boss and his boss and her boss and her boss and her boss and society and the shareholders and the government as well. And look, the way organizations work, I'm responsible. I'm the person who is embodied to deliver the changes to you that you need to make. Like it or not, that's a huge part of why bosses exist, to point out when behaviors are helping and effective and efficient so that people will continue, and to point out when one of their team gets off track. The external customer can't do this for everyone. The CEO can't do it for everyone. And so we have what most of us think of as the modern organizational structure, where everybody has a boss, and every one of those bosses is granted the authority to speak for the company on behalf of the CEO, on behalf of the customer, about the situation we're in and what it will take to go forward to be successful. And in your case, that's me. I've been doing my part, and you've not been doing yours. You have a professional obligation. It's part of your job. It's not a thing you can take out of your job. You can't be the one person that says, I'd like to be a human being, but without a liver, okay? You have an obligation to accept feedback about how you're doing, performance communications about how you're doing. Clearly, you know this. You come in for your performance review every year. So you know that. You know the systems exist. But look, I'm not here to try to persuade you of my obligations. I know my obligations. I don't have to persuade you of my obligations, or frankly, to some degree, of your obligations, any more than I have to persuade you of gravity. Okay? So here's how I'm going to proceed going forward in light of your behaviors. I'm going to continue to ask you if I can give you feedback. By asking, I'm completely comfortable with you saying no in any instance, and I'll walk away. And if your pattern continues, we're going to continue to have conversations like this one, where I have to inform you that your continued refusal creates problems relative to you not being effective. Okay? But there are other consequences as well. Because of your behavior, I'm keeping track of all of your feedback and, of course, your refusals. Look, I have to. It's my job. And you're behaving unprofessionally by refusing to do part of your job. And if you were to ask me to look the other way, you would be asking me to behave unprofessionally. If this behavior, if your behavior here continues over the course of the next few months, say, you know, could be weeks, could be months, I'll not only continue keeping track, but I'll probably have to brief my boss on what's going on. I'll give him an overview of the amount and kinds of communication you're refusing. That'll be helpful to me and him and the organization later if this behavior continues. Now look, I think I've made it clear that I want you to change your behavior. I'm not going to get into a discussion with you about how you would like your performance communications delivered to you. This isn't a short order diner. Okay. My responsibility is to deliver communications to you in a way that's effective. And I'm sure you know this, but the nine other people on the team, all of them are doing just fine with the way I talk to them about their performance. But let's also be clear, you and I, about what will happen if your behaviors continue. At the end of the year, I'll have 20 or 30 or 50 or maybe 100 instances where I ask you to do your job, to accept feedback, and you refused. It's going to be very hard for me to give you any kind of review on your performance review that it would be meeting expectations. This is a core expectation you're not meeting. It would be like somebody not showing up for weeks at a time. That you can't give that person a meets expectations if they're not doing some of the core basic day-to-day things that may not be written down anywhere, but nonetheless, the organization understands it. These are principles that allow the organization to succeed. Your review that I'll write will reflect that. And it will be a review that I'll have to defend because it will be consequential, right? But of course, I will have already read my boss into what I have been trying to do and what you have been refusing to do. And long before I show you the review, my boss and I will have gotten it shipshape so that if there's any further pushback from any party, both me and my boss will be on the same page. And remember, of course, I'll have ample evidence over many months of your failure to accept guidance. And when you complain, probably to HR, hey, I feel I'm being treated poorly. I respect that. Here's how that will go. You'll be angry and you'll complain that I'm mistreating you. I'll have, again, 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 pieces of data compiled over the last 6, 8, 10, 12 months. There will be a three-way dance between me and you and HR. I'll have data and you'll have a complaint. And you're going to lose that argument. But at that point, there will have already been a long history of you not doing your job and a record of it. And now, a less than stellar performance review. And I can't imagine that you want to fall on a sword that big just because you don't like receiving performance communications. I'm hopeful you'll come around. That's all. Thanks for meeting with me. Now, I'm going to stop there because, you know, what does that take, 10 minutes? And I know people are thinking, well, what if they want to ask questions? You know what? I promised you I'd give you the speech. There's more to the cast, so we'll come back to that. You'll have to wait and listen to that. And
oh, no.
Yeah.
I would just wish you spoke faster.
Oh,
use less words.
Yeah, I mean, look, all we need is something to make it easy. Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be awesome.
And what's funny about that is I'd like it to be easy, please. And also free. Sure.
Yeah.
I was watching this morning. I had to get ready for another phone call. It's Saturday morning. And I was watching Milton Friedman's great series, Free to Choose.
Oh, awesome. So good.
About the pricing mechanism and Adam Smith and Wealth of Nations and Hong Kong and government intervention and markets and so on. And it's just delightful. It's like dessert.
December 7th and 8th, we'll be in Austin, Texas, with our Effective Manager and Effective Communicator public conferences. We'll be safely and socially distanced at the Hilton Austin at 500 East 4th Street. And our local presenter, Kate, would love to meet you there. You can register today by visiting us at manager-tools.com/training.
Okay, so I jumped ahead, Mike. Let me go back to the outline. We have 4 points we're going to make. One, first of all, I want to reiterate, even after hearing that speech, guys, it is okay for your directs to say no to feedback. If it wasn't, we wouldn't ask.
And more than once, guys, more than once.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, definitely more than once. They won't, but it's okay. They won't do that more than once, believe me. But while that's true, that doesn't change the instance where they might say no for a good tactical reason, doesn't change the fact that they do have a core obligation to accept feedback. It's one of the many small cogs that allows organizations to continue to survive. Now, when that happens, when you actually have a pattern, and as I like to tell people, one is not a pattern. When you get worried, and you don't get worried until there's a pattern, and one is not a pattern, when you get worried, you need to start making notes. You need to start writing down that you were getting ready to give feedback. You don't have to have the feedback written down before you do it. You only have to be prepared to give the feedback. And when you say, hey, can I give some feedback? Hey, can I share some with you? Hey, can I make a presentation? And they say, no. Then you go back and you make a note about what you were going to give them feedback on. And then the last point is we'll cover what to say to a direct who continually says no. And that's about half of that section four is the speech I just put in front of you. And again, I would make the point that Mike said about licensees. If I were a licensee, I'd just print this out and I'd read it. Now, you could make it your own in some other way if you like, but I would practice it before I gave it. And you'll notice at the end, I said, that is all. We're not going to have a discussion. We're not going to follow the internet that says, anytime your people have a concern with you, you should engage with them and spend half an hour or 45 minutes making sure they feel heard. I'm not against talking about ideas in the future and possible changes and so on. But, you know, management is, as I said in the speech, you're not a short order cook. The organization will fail if every manager has to do every single thing he or she does with every one of their directs completely to the satisfaction of their direct. It doesn't work. It's not humanly possible. And so there are accommodations we make for each other. It's one of the taxes we pay to be in the most incredible thing in the history of mankind, large organizations.
All right. So to make sure folks don't take this this small hole and drive a truck through it, which is I want to jump to that speech when somebody says no. And it seems ludicrous. But we've met people, we've heard from people who believe that is the way it should work. I'm the boss. I get to decide what goes on here, and you don't have the opportunity to say no. So I think it's important that folks understand why the ability of the director to say no is so important.
Yeah. 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 Gosh, I've been, 30 years of my life now, I've been listening to these arguments. So if you ask your directs if they're open to feedback and they say no, it's okay. Walk away. Just say, okay, and walk away. And this falls, at least because you're using our model, I'm assuming you are, under a simple professional rule. And this is a rule, guys. I wouldn't say it a law because that requires a government to pass, but it's a rule. Never ask a question of your directs if you don't intend to honor the answer.
It's a pretty good rule.
It should be a law. And I'm amazed that people don't know it. No. I just mentioned Milton Friedman. You can't say, no, we don't want governmental. We don't want rulemaking because government is always a clumsy weapon, unless the weapon is being used outside of its governance, defending itself.
It is almost a law. It's almost a law of nature, right? If you continue to do that, the results will not be good.
Yeah. I have to tell you that I don't get very far talking to people about laws of nature. They don't. I find that is not. Yeah. So I talk about organizational rules.
Okay.
Principles maybe might be a better word. But almost everything, it seems like, is an argument about vocabulary. Like the old thing about mentoring versus coaching. We tell people all the time, bosses cannot mentor their directs. You might end up being called a mentor later, but you cannot mentor because mentor is by definition informal, and there's nothing informal about your relationship with your directs. You can coach, but you can't mentor. And by the same token, an executive two levels up and three divisions over can't coach you, but he or she can mentor you. But the moment you say that, people say, well, I define coaching and mentoring differently. And, sure. That's like me telling, Marie Curie. I define radiation differently. Like, well, seriously, these things are known. Now, to be fair, most people don't know them. The marketplace and commerce and transactions and organizational interactions and contracts and associations and joint ventures, all of this stuff happens based on all of these underlying principles. And most people haven't studied them, which is okay, but then don't know them, but then want to argue about them. And it's like, no, you can't. Again, it's like arguing with gravity. Don't do it.
So never ask a question of your directs if you don't intend to honor the answer.
Yeah, look, the reason for that rule is really simple. Consider the alternative. You ask, they say no, and you decide it's not okay, and then you go ahead and give the feedback anyway. Yes, perfect. You're the boss. You're the boss. And we'll talk more about that later. But think about the lesson you just taught your directs at the expense, and all you're spending all of this heartache on the idea that that one instance of feedback is important, and to use the Matt Bentliff rule, sooner and smaller, not larger and later. Okay, so your feedback is by definition about something small, something simple, something easily changed. We haven't waited until someone is in danger of losing their career over something. But you've basically said, whenever I ask a question and I don't get the answer I want or expect, I will use my role power to force you to accept whatever it was I was asking about. And guys, your directs learn that they might as well just tell you what you wanted to hear in the beginning. They're just going to say, yes, sir. Sure. Okay. Yeah. I'll do it. Even though they know it's impossible, or they think you're dumb, or just 5 minutes could convince you of something different. And look, here's the thing. It's unethical to do that. You're using your role power to create situations where your directs are learning to lie. They were not open to the feedback. You gave it anyway. Now, of course, the solution to this is not asking. But again, we'll come back to that.
And it's not only unethical. It's just stupid managerial behavior.
Yeah. Well, but look, if you don't know what you're doing as a manager, and most of us, I certainly didn't for many years. That's the whole reason for Manager Tools. We want you to learn from our stupid mistakes. If you don't know what you're doing, you don't know what you're doing is stupid. So, right?
That's why we're here.
It's easy for us. We've been around the tree a few times. So, look, if we were more cynical, we'd say, well, you got what you wanted. You gave them the feedback. You're fine. But the problem with that situation is that trust is how all roads to high performance go through trust. An untrusting direct will accept feedback, but they may not internalize it and act upon the feedback, which of course isn't good because the way our feedback model is, we do what any reasonable boss would do. If you run enough iterations, you end up here, which is, hey, that wasn't good. Could you do it better in the event of negative feedback? Can you do that? You know, that wasn't good. You did X. That wasn't good. Can you do that better? And they're on record as having said yes a second time, meaning they are now professionally committed to doing it better. And if all they do is learn to accept feedback and they don't get better, you're putting them in a situation where they're going to end up needing systemic feedback because of your bullying, unethical, unprofessional behavior. And look, you'll have done your job, quote, done your job, but only if you define your job as giving the feedback rather than as what your job should be, motivating top performance. If you give lots of negative feedback and people don't start changing their behavior, you're not going to get very far saying, I did my job. That's like the young person who you tell them, hey, we need to find out from that guy whether or not he knows X. And so your direct says, young, new direct says, sure, I'll take care of it. And so the next day you say to him, hey, did we find out? He says, well, I sent him an email. Look, I'm not paying you to send emails. I'm paying you to find out, right? So the act of, I believe the solution here is to send an email. And so therefore I sent an email. So therefore it's done. No, it's not done. We didn't get what we wanted. Same thing here. You don't get to say feedback and call it done. You don't. You're responsible not for saying it, but for the behavior change of your direct. I mean, seriously, are we here to give feedback or are we here to motivate top performance? Are we tied to a process or do we know what we should know, which is we're tied to an outcome? A process that delivers ineffectiveness, which is asking and then forcing it down people's throat, isn't a professional approach to our role as a manager. Our first responsibility is not to ourselves or our ease or our preference, but to our organization. After family and God, guys, I don't want to blaspheme here. I get emails about that every once in a while.
Yeah, it's interesting. So the feedback model is not designed to make the manager more comfortable, I hear you saying.
Oh.
That's such a shame.
Oh, yes.
I would assume it would be, right?
Please, we should start a new podcast, and we call it Comfort Tools.
Comfort Tools.
And we'll have safe spaces, and everyone will do things that make them comfortable. You know, people
until the business goes out, until they go out of business, but
yeah,
for a short period of time, it'll be
great. Yes, exactly. Yeah, as my dad says, you can take more than you can give, but only for a little while until they run you out of town. So, is what we want for the direct when we ask them to simply accept, to just say yes and to hear us and then have us walk away? That's what it seems like, though, when we force them to listen, when we say, no, you're not going to. You know, I don't care if you say yes, I'm going to give it to you anyway. They have accepted, right? They accepted it and you gave it to them. But no self-respecting manager can say that acceptance is the goal. The goal of giving the feedback is effective future performance. Role power driven acceptance is not the way to do that systemically over the long term, particularly in a dynamic environment, which everybody's always complaining how much more the world gets, more dynamic the world gets every single day. Of course, they were complaining about that 200 years ago, so there you go. Look, we understand that a lot of managers pause when we recommend you ask before, ask first, hey, can I give some feedback, before you give feedback. The question, I mean, literally, our model, the question creates the opportunity for the direct to say no. But folks, this is my favorite part of the cast. I know for many of you, the favorite part of the cast is the speech. But our data support asking the question first. We've tested a model with three steps. In other words, no question at the front. And also with four steps, asking the question first. For the record, as an aside, if you're new to us, you don't have to say, can I give you some feedback? If you don't like the word feedback, fine. You can say, can I share something with you? Can I make an observation? Can I have a word? All of those are fine, okay? By the way, your concern over the word feedback is completely misplaced, but we're prepared to offer you other paths to heaven, okay? We teach the four-step model because results are better with it. Maybe not more comfortable initially, but in the long run, better with it. The vast majority of directs that we have tested our feedback model on prefer getting the question, allowing them to demur in some cases. They prefer having the question after there is a brief period of resistance or questioning or doubt. And it gets even better. There's a period of questioning whether you use a three-step model or a four-step model. So you might choose to say, well, gosh, if both models, three or four steps are going to, you know, three or four step models are going to be have pushback, well, then I just won't use either one of them. I'll just go my own way, which is funny because the point is it's a little bit of resistance initially, and then they actually prefer the question. And I will tell you that if you don't have your own way, if you have to think of the words you're going to say every time you give feedback, you give less feedback. And by the way, it takes longer, which is particularly bad when it comes to negative feedback. Ask yourself the simple question. Do the horseman middleman test. If your boss has a chance to give you negative feedback, would you prefer she take 15 seconds or 2 minutes? And there's your answer. That's exactly what your directs want.
And my answer is 10 seconds.
Yeah, 10 seconds. I got nine. Can I have an eight? I can name that feedback in 5 seconds.
I've seen you do it, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Hey, when you miss meetings, I get emails. So look, we'll go further with our data. It takes less negative feedback to change behaviors of our directs when managers do two things. When they brief their directs in advance of how they're going to be communicating about performance, and when they ask first in step one of the four-step model. That's what our data show, repeatedly, over and over and over again.
Hey, dude, I think we've been going about 35 minutes or so at this point.
Oh, my.
I knew this is going to be at least two parts, but
you know,
I think it's great so far. I'm really
when I retire, I think I'm not going to talk. I'm not. I'm just going to play golf.
I don't know that I'd recognize you, to be honest.
No, yeah.
I mean, okay. What do we talk about when we are together? Yeah. Management.
We talk about work.
Occasionally baseball.
Yeah, but yeah. And music. And the Army music, too. Music, but. Music and yeah.
Music, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you've been teaching me a lot about music. It's cool. Way over my head.
It's fun.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry I went on so long, but I really am glad we had the idea of putting the speech up front. So some people will say, I'm not listening to these guys.
Yeah, I'm done. I got what I needed. Yeah, that would be a mistake, exactly. Folks.
It'd be a mistake, but I get it. I understand.
Cool. So we'll stop here and then folks, we'll continue next week with this. Looking forward to it. All right. Thanks, my friend.
Thanks, partner.
Have a great one. So long.